Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Welcome to the BBC Music Magazine podcast. You can subscribe to the magazine by visiting classical-music.com or to our interactive iPad edition by visiting itunes.com. BBC Music Magazine is now an official Apple Music curator, and you can listen to our exclusive playlists by visiting applemusic.com/BBCMM.
Hello, and welcome to our podcast exploring BBC Music Magazine's Recording of the Month. I'm Rebecca Franks, the magazine's acting deputy editor, and with me in the recording studio is our editorial assistant, Eleanor Cooper.
Hello.
This episode, we're exploring a hypnotic new disc of Erik Satie, featuring the soprano Barbara Hannigan and pianist Reinbert de Leeuw. It's on the Winter & Winter label. As our reviewer Christopher Dingle puts it, if you were to buy just one Satie disc in this year, celebrating the 150th anniversary of his birth, this should be it. So let's have a listen. That was Les Anges, the opening song and the first of Satie's Trois Mélodies from 1886. Immediately there, I think we've got a flavour of this meditative, calm sound world that Erik Satie creates, and also the wonderful purity that both performers bring to it. And actually, it also gives us a clue that this isn't going to be your standard Satie disc of Gymnopédie Nocturne. Eleanor, can you give an overview of this programme and a flavour of what makes it so special?
Absolutely. I mean, in this Satie anniversary year, there have been plenty of recordings of the famous piano works, like you said. But this recording shows us a totally different side to the composer. Many of the songs on this disc are contemporaries of Satie's Nocturne, and they share that same meditative quality that Satie is famous for. But here, Satie's setting a text. It's a wonderful thing to hear, and it will be a new side to Satie for many. So on this recording, Hannigan and de Leeuw have recorded Satie's Trois Mélodies, written in 1886, Trois Autres Mélodies, three other songs, written between 1886 and 1906, and Hymn, written in 1891. And then the larger, later works, Socrate. As Christopher Dingle points out in his review of the recording in our August issue, they've left out a couple of the better-known songs, but I think it does really give more of an insight to these lesser-known works of Satie.
Great. Well, let's have a listen then to a bit of the main piece on the disc, his Socrate from 1919.
Socrate, your
That was the first movement of Satie's Socrate, a three-movement cantata, or symphonic drama with voice, that sets portions of Plato's dialogues. He started to write it in 1916 and reportedly only ate white food so that he would be in the right frame of mind, as he wanted the music to be white and pure like antiquity. So all this sounds like Satie being a serious composer. Do you think he's putting on his serious composer hat, Eleanor?
It's always really difficult to tell whether Satie was composing seriously or just poking fun, sometimes at the idea of being a serious composer. And I think a lot of how we think about Satie today is tainted by the trouble that he had as a composer in his own time. Because he was famous for funny works, it's quite easy for us to taint all of his work with the same brush. Socrate is very different to the madness of the Ballet Parade or the humorous Gymnopédie. He sets Socrates' philosophy in a very logical and really hypnotic way. Often it almost sounds like speech singing, and he reflects the logic of Socrates in his music. Also, we think. I mean, ultimately, it's very difficult to tell which bits of work were intended as fun and which were serious compositions, but maybe it doesn't matter.
I think I completely agree, and actually Barbara Hannigan, I think, agrees too, that there is a serious side, but perhaps there's an ironic side going on here as well. Perhaps we should listen to another extract then from this piece. This is the Mort de Socrate, which at 18 minutes long is the longest of the three movements and the final movement. That was Barbara Hannigan and Reinbert Delahue performing the Mort de Socrate. There's a real sense of detachment and simplicity in that idea you were talking about the speech singing. You know, they're just reading this somehow, this music. But I imagine that those qualities are very hard to achieve and deceptively hard to achieve. Mm. What did you make of their performance, Eleanor?
I have to say, I thought it was absolutely... I mean, we've talked about it being hypnotic. I really was hypnotised, and I found myself entirely engaged in the work, even though it is a very disengaged work in lots of ways. And the way that Hannigan performs it, I mean, she says in her interview in the magazine that they worked very hard to remove themselves from the performance of it. And I think they do succeed in that, but they, in doing so, they create this amazing quality and kind of hypnotic, mesmerising feeling.
I completely agree. And I think they're a wonderful combination as well, because Reinbert Delahue has countless solo piano discs of Satie to his name. And I think here is very understated, as you say, quite distanced from it and beautifully kind of weighted accompaniments. But this is the first time that Barbara Hannigan has recorded Satie, I believe. And I think her really strong background in contemporary music brings a real freshness to it as well. Mm. And it's a piece that she says she's known since she was 19, and it's clearly very much internalised and very natural for her to be singing this. And as you say, the whole disc is mesmerising. And it's interesting, actually, she says she imagines it's a CD you can sort of sit back, relax and listen to at night in a reflective mood. Is that how you listen to it?
In a way, I think because they are so out of the way of the performance, there really isn't, you don't get the kind of, their personalities don't get in the way, and it is very much an internalised performance. It's almost as if Hannigan's singing in her head. It's like you're kind of that interior monologue feeling, and that kind of translates then to your own interior monologue. I thought it was a wonderful partnership, and I think they perform together exceptionally well. Delahue is absolutely placing chords, and the whole disc, he just is right where Hannigan needs him to be. And it just feels, there's no trip-ups, there's nothing to get in the way of it at all.
Well, I hope everyone else enjoys this recording as much as we have. That brings us to the end of this podcast. You can read the full review of this recording, as well as an interview with Barbara Hannigan in the August issue of the magazine. And in the meantime, to play us out, here's the chanson from Satie's Trois Autres Mélodies. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Et je me sens dans leur prison.
Thank you for listening to this BBC Music Magazine podcast, which was produced in our Bristol studio by Jack Fletcher. For more of our podcasts, visit our website at classical-music.com or simply head to iTunes.